Oh, look where we find ourselves. Just a couple of minutes on this side of the 8 o'clock hour. It's a Wednesday edition
Lorene
of the Mornings
Gilbert
with Ed Show.
Lorene Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
See how excited I am? I can't let the poor girl spit it out. Well, as we do each and every Wednesday, and it's the reason I came back early. Really, it is. I wanted to have this conversation with WealthWise Financial's president and CEO, the award-winning president and CEO, Lorene Gilbert, with us this morning. Hi, Lorene.
Good morning, Ed. I'm glad that you're back.
Oh, I am so delighted to be back. And I'm sure that everyone at the house is glad I'm back, too, because I can be quite a pain in the neck when I'm not at work. I seem to thrive on wanting to work. So, yeah, I'm glad to be back. Thank you so very much. And I mentioned this off the air, and I meant it. You asked me why this surgery went so much better than the last surgery I had for the same thing. And it's the surgeon. It is all about who you get to do what's important. And I equate that with a financial advisor as well.
You know, it is so true, Ed, because, you know, you go to a doctor and you're looking for the expertise that you need, a specialist, somebody who's going to help you with your specific ailment, the specific thing that's going on. And similarly, as someone is looking for a financial advisor, you need to look at your own situation and find the right match, somebody who is going to go above and beyond, somebody who's going to care for you and your family, and somebody who has that expertise in the area that you need help in.
Right. The difference between good and bad is just, it's stark. It really is. And yeah, it's so important. And I tried to make that equation with the morning host of a radio show. It just didn't work that way. Not the same
I'm sure it is, though. It's the same kind of thing. We're happy you're back.
Well, thank you so much, Lorene. Well, I'm glad to be back. Today's a big day for you. It's the mid-year Outlook webinar we've been talking about. So today at 4:30, you have this webinar. Tell us what you're going to be talking about, what you'll be instructing on.
Yes. So it's 4:30 Pacific time, and you can go to our website, wealthwisefinancial.com, to get that information and get signed up to attend the webinar. We're going to be talking about where we see the economy right now and what we see for the rest of the year. And looking at the data, looking specifically at the data that we're seeing, how we're interpreting that data, and what investors should think about. And you and I have talked about this before, but there is this wall of worry. And what that means is a list of things that investors could worry about. And, of course, those list of worries are valid. And then we have to disseminate that against data that we're seeing.
Okay, so sometimes the fear may be unnecessary, which will lead me into the first question I have here that we saw earlier in the week. Stocks are doing okay today. As I'm looking at them right now, they're doing all right. But earlier in the week, they tumbled on the hopes that the Fed might tap the brakes on the aggressive interest rate hikes. But we knew those interest rate hikes were coming. Is that fear unnecessary?
I think that the market is, in a sense, overreacting. Because what's happening this week is the Federal Reserve, they're meeting together in Jackson Hole. Now, this is an annual meeting that takes place with no decision that comes out of there. It's a symposium for them to discuss economic matters and what's going on in the economy. And the big highlight of Jackson Hole is the chair, Powell, who will be speaking at the end of that symposium. And so ahead of that, the market has been volatile, anticipating what is the Fed going to say? What guidance are they going to give us? And the concern is that they're going to have to raise rates more than the market has been expecting. However, what I'll say is the expectation was already for the next interest rate hike to be 50 basis points, followed by two more 25 basis points. We still think that holds and that those efforts are going to continue to slow down the economy and help bring inflation down.
Okay. And by and slowing down the economy, but staying ahead of the line that becomes a recession. And even though that a lot of people are talking about the two straight quarters of lower numbers, that the we're not really in a recession, are we?
We're not in a, we're in a technical recession by a previous definition of recession. We're not in a recession by the NBER, which is the official governmental organization that determines what a recession is. And the reality is right now with volatility that we're seeing, what I would say is that this has happened before. And oftentimes, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. You've heard that statement.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I do.
And so we've seen this kind of thing before where the markets rallied in July. So they hit a low in June. They rallied in July. They rallied through the first week in August. And then we've had some volatility since then. We could still see some more downward movement. We're about down 4% from where we were on the high most recently. We could see a real correction, which would be 10%, before we see a rally again. But we do not think that, I do not think that right now we're going to test those lows that we did in June. My expectation would be for a somewhat mild correction that we see before we see the market rallying again.
Okay. And when thinking about this, how do we factor in the new home sales having plunged last month by over 12% as high prices and mortgage rates had pushed buyers maybe to think twice about closing a deal on a new home? Is that reason for concern?
It is absolutely reason for concern on housing. Okay. So the housing numbers are pretty obvious what's happening in housing. And the family home sales declined by 12.6% in July. And to your point on home buying cancellations have increased sharply. So what's happening is buyers are being a little bit more cautious. A lot of that has to do with interest rates going up and affordability comes down. And this is what always happens that changes the housing pricing and housing sales market. As affordability goes down, then sales are going to go down. And as interest rates go up, affordability is going to go down, and then prices come down from there. So we did see that housing prices actually rose to a new high, but that is lagging as well. So the median price of home, new homes sold was $439,400 in July, and that was up 8.2% from a year ago. And the average price of new homes sold was $546,800, up 18.3% versus last year. So those are new highs. But what we're seeing now is that those home sales are declining rapidly. And by the way, that's pushing sales price in July to the lowest level since 2016.
Wow.
So even though what we're saying is that we think baseline, the economy avoids a true recession, housing market is a much different story, and the housing market is going down. So not investors, but home buyers need to consider that. So if somebody's a first-time home buyer and they're looking to get in the market, no need to rush because prices will be declining. And then if you're looking to sell a home, you know, you want to get that home on the market while housing prices still have reached peaks. And there still are more buyers out there than there are houses on the market. You do have a supply-demand imbalance. And so what does that mean? That means houses will still sell. And so it's not like the houses are not going to sell. Housing will still sell. And it's also not going to be a complete bust, meaning, you know, just the rug is pulled out and housing goes down, you know, huge amounts. But what I would say is there are pockets in America. I was just looking, you know, I have a place in Telluride and I kind of track what's going on in the housing prices there. And I have consistently seen markdowns of 10% on housing prices. So somebody who started their home, you know, and probably because people were looking at going, wow, I could get so much from a house, but now they're having to rethink that and come down on housing prices. So I think there are definitely pockets around the country where you saw these huge gains during COVID, where you're going to start seeing markdowns going on. And so I think that this is going to be a trend in housing.
Okay. And, you know, in preparing for today, last night I was sitting at the coffee table putting my notes together. I'm like, my God, I'm glad I'm doing homework because I absolutely need to do my homework to have this conversation. Thank you for that. That was huge. And that's so informative. That's like actually being able to copy off someone's paper. Thanks, Lorene. It really is. And speaking of doing homework, details of a plan to provide up to $10,000 in student loan debt cancellation, we're still waiting. So the plan so far is maybe borrowers that earn less than $125,000 a year would be eligible for the loan forgiveness. Give us what you got on that.
Yeah, so... like you said, it hasn't been announced yet, but it's expected to be announced today. And it could provide $10,000 of student loan debt forgiveness and up to $20,000 if it's a Pell Grant in this program. The estimated cost is $300 billion. So it's getting, of course, you're going to hear pushback. The pushback is going to be, that's more money that the federal government is spending, and ultimately that means taxpayers have to pay for that $300 billion, and that also adds to inflationary pressures. So, and then what about the people who worked hard to pay off their debt and other people are getting it forgiven? The other part that's getting some flack is that it's not just undergraduates, but it's also graduate, in other words, like graduate program like an MBA. So there's some pushback on that. Ultimately, the administration is looking for baseline support to their base that would help them in the next election cycles. So it's certainly not lost that it's being done now before the midterm election. So be on watch for that. And if you have a student loan, then you might be looking at some forgiveness there.
Right. If you're earning under $125,000. If you're not, then you're still...
That's what's expected. We just don't know all the details yet.
Okay. All right. And I look forward to talking to you about it next week when this may or may not have finally come down. I also want to talk to you about the thing, this may be my dumb guy moment in our conversation, but yesterday all I was hearing about was the whistleblower with Twitter, and that now Twitter might be a national security concern because of the reckless and negligent cybersecurity, and it might make us vulnerable to China and Russia. I think my question, aside from all of those important items, is how does this kind of affect the Elon Musk case and is with his obligation to buy, and what happens there?
Well, Musk and his team are probably doing a little happy dance right now because he couldn't have asked for a better situation in the middle of his own dilemma, because this whistleblower came from the top of their security. This was the guy who is in charge, former Twitter head of security. And of course, he was let go. And so, you know, Twitter's saying, you know, this is overblown. He wasn't doing his job right anyway. Yada, 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 you know, that kind of thing. Of course, he's saying the whistleblower is there were insiders who were placed by other governments in there, and, you know, and there is data, including phone numbers, location, emails. And so what it really brings up is this greater issue about security of your data and what companies do with your data, right? So for all of us as individuals, and by the way, Ed, I just had my own information compromised. Would you believe that somebody filed a disability claim on with my social security number, my birth date, my information, and I am very careful. I am diligent with my own personal information. So my personal information, and here I am working, hardworking person, paying, you know, all the taxes and whatnot, and somebody's been collecting disability. And the only reason I found that out was I got a phone call from a bank because somebody who had set this account up, and the way the state of California, this is a state disability, by the way, the way the state of California works it is they work with a bank, they set up these prepaid cards, they mail you the card. So then I had to report it to the EDD. I tried to call them. There is a message that says, if somebody has claimed disability on your behalf, hang up. Basically, they do not. This is happening so frequently.
Wow.
They don't have the manpower to even deal with it. Right. You have to send them. You have to go to their website, fill out a form, and let them know. So this is, of course, fraud.
Right.
This is the state of California and all taxpayers having to pay for that fraud. And the point of me saying all this, this idea of cybersecurity and all of the fraud that's going on is rampant. It is just rampant. So whether it's, you know, benefits that are being acquired, or, you know, people getting your data from these, from different, like whether it's social media or whatnot, it is rampant, and users should be very concerned about their data. So at the bottom line, like you said, we'll see what happens with the whole situation with Musk trying to get out of the deal with Twitter. But at the end of the day, you know, he's going to be able to subpoena this former head of security to be part of his case.
Right. So you've opened up a Pandora's box of questions for me. I hope you have a couple of more minutes because is this person still collecting disability off your name? And B, where do you think the breach may have occurred?
So this person is still, you know, because I had to report it. And by the way, I asked the bank, like, so how long has this been going on? And once again, the reason they called me is they suspected, the bank suspected fraud. And they were trying to do two-factor authentication. And what's crazy is this person who set it up used my real phone number. So they had my phone number, so the bank's calling me on my phone.
Right.
And that's how we discovered that this was all going on. But with that, now what's happened is the bank has stopped it. So the bank has put that account on hold. But this has been going on since November of 2021 without my knowledge. And, of course, now we're in August 2022. So almost a year of disability payments being paid.
Right.
And what's so crazy is, like I said, while I'm just working away. So, but the other thing, how it happened and how they got my data, I will tell you, over the years, there have been different companies, of course, that have reported, hey, we've had a hack, right? You remember all these different companies that have announced it.
Right.
So I'm sure on one of those, and I have a service that monitors, you know, one of those credit report services. So immediately I called the credit reporting agency and said, you know, how has this not been tracked? But the reason is those credit reporting agencies do not report on somebody opening a bank account. It only is somebody opening debt, a loan, a credit card, you know, a mortgage.
Right.
It won't track somebody opening a bank account.
And it should.
But they can't, so yeah, that would be great. And so as a result of all of this, I have completely frozen my credit. So what does that mean? No one can open a credit card, a loan, a mortgage. So before I was just monitoring it, I've now taken that extra step of freezing credit. And so, once again, if I need to get a credit card or take out a loan or anything like that,
right,
I will have to call the credit agency, unfreeze it while I do that, and then refreeze it. And then the other thing is that freeze will only last 1 year. I have to get the state of California to write a letter saying that this has happened before the credit agency will freeze it for 7 years. And of course, trying to get that done with the state of California, you know, I have submitted the request, but you can't reach anybody on the phone. Right. And we'll see what happens.
So,
but it's serious. It's very serious.
So in the future, because I'm thinking right now, as you're telling me this, first of all, my mouth is wide open here. And as you're telling me this, I'm thinking, well, they're obviously the hackers are moving faster than the security to prevent them. Do you see that as being the norm, as everyone who is concerned about the credit should or will be eventually freezing their credit and then having to individually check from time to time when they want to?
And you know, I used to think, wow, that's just overdone. Like, you know, you don't really need to do it.
Right.
But things have gotten so bad. And you'll remember that just a couple months ago, we had that cybersecurity webinar. And we're doing this now. We're going to be doing the cybersecurity webinar every year because it is critical.
Right.
And things are getting so bad out there as far as what these hackers are doing that everybody's information is kind of floating around out there. And by the way, back to that monitoring service, I have their premium level service that is also supposed to search the dark web for any data floating around there. So even with that highest level of protection, you know, like I said, it's not monitoring if somebody opened a bank account, and sure enough, somebody did.
Wow. Wow, Lorraine. Well, thank you, first of all, for sharing that with us. And I know that our audience got a ton from that. So thank you for sharing that with us and the very best of luck here. And I guess when we go out to dinner, it's going to be cash only now.
No. I can still use all my credit cards. It's a matter of not being able to open new ones.
Okay.
Just to clarify on that.
Okay. Lorraine, tell us how our audience finds you.
Yes, wealthwisefinancial.com. 949-748-1177.
And don't forget, the Mid-Year Outlook webinar happens at 4:30 Pacific time today. And how can we tune into that?
You can go to our website and there will be a form to fill out to register.
Okay. I am so glad to have been back on a Wednesday, Lorraine. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great week.
Thank you. You as well, Lorraine. Have a great Mid-Year Outlook webinar tonight.
Thank you.
All right. 8:25 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.